Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of A Little Bit of Everything with me, Morgan Flitt. I am so excited to have Aaron Redgrave, aka What's Aaron Eating on Instagram, on today's episode. Aaron is a recently registered dietitian, and I've been wanting to have a registered dietitian on the podcast for months now, and I've been unable to find one. I've just been very unsuccessful in my quest to get an RD on the podcast. But again, it was sort of by fate. I feel like that's how all of my guests come about. But I actually found Erin's Instagram when she had a post about food combining kind of go low-key viral within like the health community on Instagram. So that's how I found her Instagram page, What Erin's Eating. And then I reached out to her to see if she wanted to come on the podcast. And I was so excited when she said yes. I think it's so important to hear from the perspective of a registered dietitian when it comes to anything having to do with diet and food. I think especially in the age of social media, anybody can come off as an expert, and it's really important to be getting your information from reliable sources and from people who actually went to school for this sort of thing and have the right credentials to be talking about what they're talking about. In today's episode with Erin, we talk about her schooling and her journey to becoming a registered dietitian, including all of the training and the internships and the tests that she had to take to become a registered dietitian. We also talked a lot about fad social media diets, including food combining, which I know last summer was like the hottest diet ever on social media, but obviously, it's come out that food combining is a very toxic and unhealthy diet fad. So we talk a lot about that. We talk about just the rise of diet culture in general and social media and some red flags that you should definitely pay attention for if you're wishing to get diet advice off of the internet, as well as just some really good people that you should be following on Instagram or YouTube who are accredited and rightfully can be giving out diet advice. This episode talks a lot about food and diet culture, so if you find those sort of topics triggering, please listen at your own discretion. I'd never ever want to make anybody feel triggered in any way. I'm aware that talking about food can be a really sensitive topic for some people, so please, please, please just listen at your own discretion. Let's get into the episode and meet Erin. So I am sitting via Zoom with Erin, who is a registered dietitian. I'm really excited about this conversation. I think it's going to be very valuable and informative. So hi, Erin, welcome on.
Hi, guys. And hi, Morgan. I wanted to say thank you for having me. I'm so excited to just talk about everything and anything nutrition. Obviously, it's my favorite topic.
Yeah, of course. I've been dying to have a registered dietitian on because I think it's so important to seek credible advice, especially when it comes to nutrition. We'll talk a lot about this throughout our conversation, but I just want to start with a brief background about yourself. So just feel free to introduce yourself to the listeners.
Sure. So yeah, as Morgan was saying, my name is Erin. I am a newly registered dietitian. I actually just passed my exam like 3 weeks ago. But I have a platform on Instagram. My ad is What's Erin Eating, where I like to share. I'm more on the like intuitive eating, anti-diet side of Instagram, but I also like to integrate a little bit of like weight management stuff because I don't know, I feel like on Instagram people are very split down the middle. And I like to take kind of like a middle ground, but you know, I'm mostly anti-diet, all foods fit mentality. And yeah, I'm unemployed, so that's what I do.
It's okay. I think a lot of people will feel that struggle right now.
Oh yeah. New grad during a pandemic. It's rough.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to have you explain about your schooling and credentials to the listeners and just the process of becoming a registered dietitian. I think especially with just the rise of social media, anyone can be an expert online. Anybody can spit out information that seems credible, but they might not have the schooling and credentials to back it up. So go ahead and just explain your process of becoming a registered dietitian.
Sure. So I'm sure if you ask any RD about like the path to becoming a registered dietitian, they're going to say it's annoying and long, which is very true. And I'm sure we'll get into like influencers promoting nutrition later, but Anyway, so I went to the University of Delaware for my undergrad. I actually went into college as a biochemistry major. I really thought that I was going to be like some forensic scientist or stuff. I'm really into true crime too. So I thought that that was the path for me. I ended up having the worst semester of my life. I wanted to transfer. I was in all of these really hard chemistry classes and I was like, I hate this. My parents just told me to stick it out. So I did. And when I went back for the spring, thankfully, I was just signing up for random classes to see what I wanted to do. And I knew that I like to work out. I was into like kind of like the healthy eating stuff, but I had no idea like what an RD even was when I was in college. So I took a nutrition 101 class and obviously I ended up loving it because right there I ended up switching my major. And then another thing that kind of led me down the RD path was I grew up with really bad scoliosis as a kid. And if anyone doesn't know, scoliosis is like a curvature of the spine. So I suffered from that for a while. And then my sophomore year of college, I ended up getting surgery. And I had a dietitian who, you know, helped me recover in the hospital. And that was like kind of like the stamp of approval. I was like, yeah, I want to do this. So flash forward 4 years, I graduated from University of Delaware with my Bachelor of Science in Nutrition and Dietetics. And then kind of like the next step to be a dietitian is going through what's called the dietetic internship. You know, RDs, I feel like we have mixed feelings about the internship, but it's just like something you got to do. It's like 1200 hours of field experience where you're essentially working for free, full time. It's rough, but I was lucky enough to match to a dietetic internship where I was able to live at home. It's called a distance program, if any RD-to-bes are listening. So I matched with University of Delaware's distance internship, but I lived with my parents. So I did all of my, I think it ended up being like 8 months of field experience. and then I ended up finishing that in April amidst COVID. So that was very interesting. I was in the hospital when, you know, COVID was starting to become a thing. And it was just wild being like an unpaid intern during a pandemic. But that's a whole another story. So I ended up finishing in April. And then in order to call yourself a registered dietitian, you have to sit for the RD exam. So I took about a month and a half to study full time for the RD exam, and I ended up passing, thankfully, on the first time in July. So yeah, I passed about 3 weeks ago. And that's kind of like the typical path to becoming an RD. I know there's a whole different, you know, slew of paths that some people take. Sometimes they go and get their master's first. I'm eventually going to have to get my master's. By 2024, we're required to have them. So that's somewhere down the line too. But yeah, it's definitely a long, convoluted path, but I think in the end it's worth it if you're really interested in it and you really want to help people.
Yeah. So all in all, it seems like a lot of work, a lot of schooling. The fact that you have to work that long for free is crazy. I know for law school, in order, at least in New York State, it differs state to state, but to sit for the New York State bar, you have to have 50 pro bono hours. So 50 hours of working for free. And I'm doing it right now. And I'm like, this sucks. And like, yeah. I had a free internship, an unpaid internship in college for a senator. Mm-hmm. And it sucks. Like, that's a whole different conversation, just like how messed up unpaid internships are. But all in all, it seems like a lot of work. So I'm really curious, what are your feelings as a registered dietitian when you see people on social media giving out health advice when they're not certified to, or they claim they're certified to? I hate to like drag her into this, but everybody knows Kenzie Burke. I know she always says that she is accredited to be giving out nutrition advice because she did some sort of random school program, but it's been debunked. A lot of registered dietitians have said this isn't a legitimate program. So I'm just curious, what are your feelings as a registered dietitian? You work so hard and then you just see people on social media popping up and being like, hey, I'm going to start this huge nutrition movement, although I have no like credentials to do so.
I could go on for hours how frustrating it is. And I know that, like, if there's any other RDs listening, they're probably laughing because it's like, it's just a slap in the face to us. I think it's them, you know, taking our 4 years of undergrad and then all of our field experience and kind of just ripping it to shreds. Especially, you know, Kenzie Burke. I know that that's how kind of we connected on Instagram is like, I posted a thing about food combining and she ended up finding it and writing this comment that kind of just further proved my point of like,
it was,
you should have.
Not to be rude, but it was like comical. There was one point where she had said that her case studies are better than Harvard case studies. And literally everyone was commenting back like, what? Like, are you being serious?
Yeah, I have this screenshot somewhere, but it was just like, I thought that it was a joke at first and I was like, oh, this girl's serious. But anyway, going back to the point, yeah, it's just extremely frustrating. And I know that it's something that I'm going to have to deal with throughout my life as an RD because, you know, social media is only going to grow. And people think that a degree from Google University is apparently better than an accredited degree. But you know what? I think the only thing that we can do as dietitians is put good evidence-based information out there for whoever wants to listen to us and, you know, see clients who really do want to get better and learn actual information about nutrition.
Yeah, definitely. Does it, like, how do you approach the sort of situation you were in with Kenzie when you have someone who really, really stands by what they're promoting? Like, one thing I can definitely give Kenzie props for is that she's very passionate about her message and she stands by it despite going through a lot of backlash last summer when Abby Sharp, a registered dietitian on YouTube, debunked food combining when it was at its peak popularity. How do you approach those sort of people who are very, very diehard about the message that they're spreading?
It's so tough because, I mean, just going back to like what I posted on Instagram, I honestly didn't even respond to her. And I think that her response spoke for itself. And you know what? If you want to believe that stuff, go ahead. And if it makes you feel good, I'm not going to be the food police and I'm not going to tell you how to eat. But it's a whole different story if you're saying that, you know, just totally going against anatomy and physiology and saying that eating fruit and yogurt is going to clog your digestive system, which is just simply not true. So, you know, it's really tough to kind of navigate that space on like the online wellness community because there's definitely a huge space for that. You know, I honestly like don't even know really as a newly registered dietitian, I'm still figuring it out too, like how to, you know, target my response when people just don't want to listen. Sometimes it's not even worth it to type the response.
Yeah. It seems like almost the best thing to do is just not even directly respond and just let the information you're putting out there speak for itself.
I agree because like, you know, you're always going to have people following you that actually care about what you say. And I think that, you know, that's the reason why I put out a lot of my information is for those people. So, you know, that's all you can do is think about the people who actually care about evidence-based information and just keep putting it out there because you're going to get exhausted replying to comments from diehard food combiners. Also, if you're a food combiner, like I'm not trying to like shade you or anything, I do whatever you want, but I just don't like the false information. That's what kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah. It would be one thing if Kenzie approached it in a way of like, I know this isn't scientifically correct, but this is the way I eat. And this is the message I'm promoting versus like truly, truly believing that she has the data to back up what she's saying. I think that's a lot of people's frustrations. I'm sure as a registered dietitian, you feel that. And I'm just a normal person who's into health and fitness.
Right.
It pains me to see sometimes she's just like, it's the cross she's like willing to bear and it's the hill she's willing to die on. It's very frustrating.
Yeah. It's actually unreal. Like going back to like that comment and stuff about comparing food combining to a Harvard study. I was like, what in the world are you saying? Like, I just don't know how she reads it back, and I feel so bad. We're like shading her so hard.
No, it's been commonly done on this podcast before. Don't worry.
Good. But I just don't know how she like types it out and reads it back and is like, yeah, this is good.
Yeah, definitely. Know. So do you have any advice for a listener who maybe has a friend or someone close to them who does tend to take diet advice from unaccredited sources? Maybe like they're going to outlets like Instagram or TikTok or YouTube and just kind of following what they see, even though the information might not be credible.
Yeah. And that's a really, you know, tough road to go down too, because you need to make sure that obviously you're being nice and you aren't, you know, your friend isn't being triggered by anything. But I think first off, you just need to see how the actual person is feeling. If, you know, they're happy and they're eating enough food and they have enough energy eating this way, then there's not much you can do. And that's totally fine. Not everyone, you know, nutrition is so individualized that there's not one correct way to eat. But if you see them, you know, obviously they're miserable, then there's some next steps that you need to take. And, you know, just going back to like, I'm thinking of Kenzie again with the food combining, a lot of these influencers will, you know, use their bodies as selling points. You know, if you go on Kenzie's Instagram, half of it is, you know, bikini pictures and topless pictures. And, you know, she's saying that that's what food combining got her. But I think a lot of people don't realize how important genetics is and how big of a role genetics plays. Because if I were to food combine and you were to food combine, our bodies would just look totally different. And I think that's what gets a lot of people with like these influencers with their diet programs and stuff. So it's really important to just kind of take a step back and be like, it is okay if you don't look like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think there's a whole nother talk about like body positivity and like, you know, food freedom that we could talk about too. But, and then just going back and, you know, making your friend realize that this probably isn't something that's sustainable. They're not going to be able to eat like this the rest of their life. And that's kind of a red flag. You know, if you're not able to, you're not going to be able to food combine all your life. You're not going to be able to eat keto all your life, whatever diet you're doing. If it's not something that makes you happy, then you probably shouldn't be doing it. Because if you did end up losing weight, you're probably going to gain it back once you go back to eating normally. Yeah. And then, yeah, I think just finally offering some accounts that are either run by dietitians or maybe some like body positivity or just like positive mindset Instagram accounts or YouTube pages that promote intuitive eating or food freedom or just body positivity in general are really important. Like we said, you know, social media is always growing. So there's a lot of great accounts out there to follow. And I think that's important for, you know, to reach out to your friends and send them accounts like that.
Yeah, definitely. I know you mentioned body positivity and I'd love to touch on that really quick. So I think it's a message that a lot of people understand, but maybe have a hard time accepting. I know I recently, within the past months, have just really finally accepted, like, this is how my body is shaped. This is what my genetics seem to be like. And I'll never be the person who has like the perfect hourglass shape and a super flat stomach. So mm-hmm. for people like me who understand the message, but have a really hard time accepting the reality of it, what's some advice you have for them?
It's really tough too, because when I was at like my peak of scoliosis before my spinal fusion, I had body dysmorphia to the max. Like I would look in the mirror and see something just totally different. And I know a lot of people struggle with that too. And yeah, I agree that like people are down with the message of body positivity, but when it comes to themselves, it's really hard to accept just because of the like toxicity of social media. But I think my best advice would just be like following those accounts, and just having more, you know, different shaped bodies on your Instagram feed. And it's really hard to do because, you know, all of the popular influencers are a size zero. But just going out of your way and like looking up some accounts, or I've even found a lot of people on TikTok that promote a lot of body positivity, and I end up following them on Instagram. I just think it's like so much less toxic to fill your feed with different colors, different body shapes, different kinds of people that the media says that we shouldn't follow. I think that would be my biggest, you know, tip. And then I think something that's also helped for me is just like slowly incorporating like pieces of clothing that maybe you don't feel totally comfortable in, especially while we're in quarantine. You know, you can just like, if you're not into tight shirts, maybe wear a tight shirt around your house and see how you feel. And then just kind of make that step into looking at your body and realizing all that it can do and all that it's done for you up until now. I think that's super important.
Yeah, definitely. And I also think with body positivity, people are so quick to give their love and support to other people, but then they don't give that same love and support back to themselves.
Oh my gosh, I totally agree. I've been getting into like Peloton recently. I got the app because obviously gyms are closed and stuff. And I was doing a run the other day, and one of the instructors was like, imagine if we gave all of the love and support to ourselves as we did our friends and family. And that just like hit home to me, because like, I know when my friends like have a big accomplishment or even like post a bomb picture on Instagram, I'm like, oh my God, yes, they look so good. But then when it comes to myself, I just don't give that support and love. And that's something that I'm really trying to work on, especially now, like since I have all the time in the world.
Yeah, definitely. I think quarantine is a very good time for these self-discoveries.
Agreed.
Okay, so what sort of certifications should people be looking for when seeking legitimate diet advice online? Like you said before, your process of becoming a registered dietitian was very long and extensive, and a lot of schooling and specialized training. So what sort of certifications should people be looking for, and are there any that people should be avoiding?
Sure. So, you know, obviously, like when you see RD or RDN at the end of someone's name, that's going to be your gold standard for diet advice. I know a lot of people get confused, but RDs and RDNs are the same thing. It just depends on state licensure. Some states don't allow people to call themselves nutritionists, so the dietitians have kind of consume that term, but some states are different. So yeah, RDs are going to be your gold standard, but also if you see someone that has like RD to B or dietetic intern, they usually have pretty credible advice. I mean, I was a dietetic intern like 3 months ago, and I had pretty credible advice back then, I think. And then, you know, going back to schooling, a lot of my friends took the master's in nutrition route. And, you know, a lot of my friends have really great advice from things that they've learned in their master's classes. So if you see any of those, you're probably in the clear. You know, every dietitian is different. So do your research on if you want like a weight loss dietitian, if you want, there's even keto dietitians or, you know, PCOS dietitians. Not all dietitians are the same, and that's important to note, but they usually have great advice. I don't know much about, like, I tried to do a little research about, like, IIN or, like, the School of Nutrition.
That's the one I see all the time.
I looked up, and it's, like, run by Mark Hyman, who I don't really like. He's, like, mm-hmm. a doctor who has a big Instagram following. I don't know much enough about that to like really talk on it. If anyone listening is in it, like I would love to hear your thoughts. But I just know that they don't do nearly as much as schooling as dietitians do. So yeah, I don't really have an opinion on them.
Yeah, I know. I like how you said that there's different dietitians for your specific goals and needs. I don't know if you watch Abby Sharp. I love her.
I was going to talk about her later.
So much. Touch on her, but she gets a lot of criticism for promoting intuitive eating. Mm-hmm. And I've had that same exact thought process. Like that's her message that she believes in as an RD. So if you're someone who is interested in the keto diet or is interested in, you know, losing incredible amounts of weight, she's probably not the registered dietitian for you. And she's said that. She's outright said that. So exactly. I like how you acknowledge that.
Yeah. I don't know if you watch, she did a video on like a bodybuilder recently.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch all of it, but she got a lot of backlash from the bodybuilding community because, you know, when people are training for shows, they're measuring out their spices. They're measuring out their spritzes of oil that they put on their plain chicken breast. And that's by far probably the opposite of intuitive eating. So it's just, you know, whatever you're looking for out there, do your research and just know that not every dietitian is going to say the same thing.
Yeah, definitely. I always feel just awful for Abby because she always gets so much criticism about intuitive eating. And a lot of people will throw out there saying like, well, you know, I'm obese or I have mm-hmm. a binge eating disorder. Well, you're probably, intuitive eating's probably not for you then.
Exactly.
You fix those things first before you even think about maybe implementing intuitive eating. I think people are just so quick to attack. It just really bothers me. I'm a huge Abby like stan though, so I'll like go to war
too.
For her. But
I know, I'm obsessed with her. I just watched her TikTok diet trend video and it was just like unreal. I feel like I saw comments like defending the disordered eating on TikTok too. And I was like, what are you saying? But
yeah, that's crazy.
Everyone is entitled to their opinion. That's just something that you got to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's a great leeway into my next question, which are, what are some diet red flags to look out for on social media? TikTok specifically, it's insane how much diet culture and bad advice is on there. So I'm very curious to hear your thoughts and just red flags people should keep their eye out for.
Yeah, I've actually been doing a lot of research on this. So my best friend, who's also a registered dietitian, we just started our own podcast, shameless plug. It's called RD's Cup of Tea, where we're going to be talking about like diet culture and trends and diet Q&As and stuff like that. And we're planning on doing a TikTok episode. You know, just some red flags. Diet culture is everywhere. It's impossible to avoid. Some red flags on social media. My number one tip is if it's too good to be true, it's a red flag. Anything claiming that lose 5 pounds in a week, get abs quick, get your dream body, anything like that, it's probably a bust. Don't waste your time or money. Another red flag is any elimination of a food or a food group. Obviously, if you're allergic to something, gluten intolerant, stuff like that, this doesn't apply to that. But if someone says that you have to cut out carbs in order to lose weight, if someone says that you need to cut out fruit, if someone says that you need to cut out apples, whatever it may be, it's a red flag. You know, no, you don't have to do any of that in order to lose weight. And another huge thing I see are like buzzwords that people will throw in. People love to say like inflammation or bloating. I know Kenzie loves to talk about bloating. Anything like detox or cleanse. Like, it's just, you have kidneys and a liver to detoxify yourself. You don't need to drink juice to do that. So any of those like just buzzwords, don't waste your time. And then going back to credentials, looking at those. And then finally, this is a big one. If someone is selling a product like Skinny Tea or Arbonne, I've gotten approached by Herbalife a lot and it's just not a good look. I don't know. I can't deal with the MLMs or anything. So, you know, those are all your red flags. There's probably so many more that I'm missing and I'll probably think of after we finish recording, but those are my main ones that I can really think of.
Yeah, those are good ones. I like how you mm-hmm. brought up the buzzwords because I think that's a very common like marketing tactic. I know that, oh my gosh, I forget her name, but everyone's been doing her like 2-week ab challenge.
Chloe Ting. Yeah.
I've never done her, but any of her videos and I don't follow her and I've heard she's very sweet and whatever and people love her videos. Mm-hmm. But I remember seeing somewhere recently that she like outright admitted oh, I know, like my programs aren't going to give you abs in 2 weeks. I just use it as a marketing purpose. That's where I think it crosses the line a little bit.
100%. I think going back to Abby, I think she did a video on Chloe Ting too that I didn't watch, but I would love to know, like, if anyone's like a personal trainer or a PT out there, like what their thoughts on Chloe Ting's workouts are. Because I'm not a personal trainer or anything. I've never done them either, but I feel like there was a time at the beginning of quarantine where like everyone and their mother was doing the 2 week app challenge on TikTok. And I was like, I'm not into this.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's hard. I would be curious to hear from a PT because I know that like similar to the same frustrations and concerns that you have, a lot of personal trainers, and like fitness instructors are very frustrated with people who aren't accredited to be giving out fitness advice and just like the rise of fitness influencer apps. I know that's a really big problem as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that would be a super interesting episode. I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, definitely. I'll have to put that as an idea. That's a good one. Okay. So for someone who is maybe interested in seeing a registered dietitian, but they've never been before, can you explain what a first consultation or appointment would look like just to sort of ease their nerves?
Yeah. I know like even before I was like into the whole RD life, even thinking about like going to see a dietitian is really scary. I don't think it's normalized yet. Hopefully one day it will be, but it definitely isn't now. So I'm thinking back to a lot of my like field experience when I was in like smaller practices. When we would first see clients, usually your dietitian is going to go over what your goals are. Like, why are you there in the first place? Is it, do you want to lose weight? Do you want to, you know, find food freedom? Are you suffering from a little bit of disordered eating? So again, going back to, you know, this specializing in stuff, it's important to find an RD who is specializing in what you want to accomplish, because, you know, there are some dietitians who specialize in eating disorders while there are some who specialize in weight loss. So do your research definitely, but usually first appointment is going to be goals. Sometimes they'll ask you to bring in like a 3-day food record if your goals are like weight loss or chronic disease management. I know when we were seeing a lot of type 2 diabetics, we would always ask them to bring in what's called a 3-day food record and just see how, you know, that correlates to their blood sugars, because that's another teaching moment right there. And then a lot of the times you'll go over kind of like your food habits. So say that you're kind of like a grazer during the day, and then if 8 p.m. hits, you just, you know, binge your whole kitchen. Or you could skip breakfast and lunch and then just go crazy at night. So it's just important for your dietitian to know that, so he or she can kind of develop a plan that's, you know, evolved around you. Going back to what I said before, nutrition is so individualized that it's important to go see a dietitian for your specific needs. That's why you can't take diet advice from an influencer, because they don't know everyone's needs. Yeah, that's usually what your first appointment is going to be. And then follow-ups, depending on your goals, will be more like counseling centered. You'll be doing a lot of talking probably. And then your dietitian will probably give you lots of recipes and ideas. Some dietitians even will go to the grocery store with you, obviously once the pandemic is over, but some will give grocery store tours. Some may even do like recipe demonstrations. It's really cool the like amount of stuff that dietitians can do.
Yeah, definitely. Where would someone find a dietitian? Would they just go on Google and Google register a dietitian near me, or are there any specific websites you can point them to?
Yeah, usually if you look up like private practice dietitian near me, that is a good starting point. I know a lot of people are scared because they think that dietitians are going to be really expensive. I would say your first line should be calling your insurance, because I know a lot of private practice dietitians will accept insurance, which is great. I know during my field experience, when I was at a smaller practice, we did accept insurance. And it's just crazy the amount of like different people that came, which is really cool. If that's not in the picture for you, there's a bunch of great websites that I have, and I can send these to you too, if you want to like put them in the show notes or something.
Yeah, I can link them.
But I'll just like talk about them right now. So nutrition.gov is kind of just like the government's basic, you know, nutrition guidelines. And it talks a lot about different kinds of vitamins you need and stuff like that. Again, these like are, it's tough to be individualized with these because it's an entire website. But if you're like a data nerd like me and like to look at like different data sets and stuff, cdc.gov/nutrition is great. They talk a lot about like macronutrient needs and micronutrient needs of different people. That could be a great starting point for some people who can't see a dietitian. And then I like to recommend like blogs of dietitians that I'll follow on Instagram, because a lot of the times they have really great information on their blogs and they have really great recipes that they post too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think there's a ton of good information out there. I think especially with like our generations, we just want things so instantaneously. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to see things on social media and have to maybe dig a little deeper and see if the info is actually credible.
I know. It's so easy to just like look on your explore page and be like, oh, this is probably right, you know, but it's just not the opposite of right.
Yeah,
we love convenience. I'm going to be the first one to say I love convenience too. But yeah, I think it's important when it comes to your health, you know, nutrition is your health. You wouldn't go to, I don't know, Google to, some people do WebMD their symptoms, but you know, you see a doctor when something's wrong with you, and you should see a dietitian when something is wrong with you nutritionally.
Yeah. So do you, aside from those websites, do you have any other Instagram accounts you recommend to follow or any YouTubers to look at? I know we both love Abby, but anybody else?
Yeah, YouTubers, again, if you are not watching Abby, you need to get on the Abby train. I also really like this girl. Her name is Becca Bristow. She is a dietitian. She has a little bit more like lifestyle. She does like grocery store blogs. She does different recipes, but she also like does like home decorating stuff. I don't know if you're into that. She's a great one on YouTube though. And then Instagram accounts. I love this question because I follow so many people on Instagram, but my favorites are probably, I really like this girl. Her name is Dietitian Deanna, and she's more of like the body positivity. She used to compete in like bikini competitions, and now she's just like 180'd her way into like intuitive eating, food freedom, body positivity. So she is a dietitian I love. Happy Strong Healthy RD. They are like a group of dietitians that sees clients who also in the food freedom atmosphere of Instagram. They have really good like air fryer recipes. I saw the other day they were like air frying raspberries to make into jam, and I was like, that's so interesting. I've never air fried a fruit. Diet Culture Rebel has really great like infographics on just diet culture in general, also like binging, restricting. If any of that is triggering to you, I don't know. She's a great resource though. She's a dietitian who specializes more in like eating disorders and stuff. Rachel's Good Eats, I don't know if you follow her. She's great. She's a dietitian and a certified personal trainer. She has great recipes and she has great workouts. She's been doing a lot of like IGTV workouts that I've been doing. They're really great and they're like minimal equipment and everything. And then finally, Confessions of a Dietitian. She's more like weight management if you're into that. She has like really good like lower calorie snacks and how to like pack your lunch for work and stuff like that. So I really like her.
Yeah, definitely. I always I tend to look on Pinterest for like meal inspiration, but I also do like getting it off of Instagram because I think it's just more enjoyable when you follow the person and you sort of have like an insight on their lifestyle. It just seems more authentic, I feel like.
Agreed. And that's funny that you bring up Pinterest because I was like going on Pinterest recently and I realized that my Pinterest was from high school and I was like, I just need to delete this and start over. So I started a new Pinterest. But yeah, I think Pinterest is also like a great resource if you're just looking for like recipe ideas. You don't have to get your recipe ideas from a dietitian. There are plenty of great resources out there like Pinterest for healthy meal ideas. I know I use that a lot when I was like packing lunch every day to go to my internship. They have really great like easy lunchbox meals and stuff like that. So yeah, I would definitely Pinterest. Recommend Pinterest. Yeah.
It's so funny you say that you just had to like do a Pinterest overhaul because I legit just did the same thing the other day. I looked at mine and it just had so many like boards from when I was in like late high school, early college. And I was like, this is just not representative of who I am anymore.
I know it was like tattoo ideas. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cringe. I don't even know. But yeah, I did the Pinterest overhaul too. And I'm glad I did.
Yeah. Okay, so where can people find you? Feel free to plug your Instagram and your new podcast. I'm very excited to listen to that.
Oh, yes. We just ordered new mics, so hopefully the second episode will be good. But Instagram, you can find me. It's at @what's_Aaron_eating. Again, I'm like more food freedom, intuitive eating side, but love everything there. And then my best friend, Julia, who is also a dietitian, and I just started our podcast. It's called RD's Cup of Tea. And we're on Spotify and Apple. And then on Instagram, it's @cupofteapod.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on. This was so valuable. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode with Aaron. It was so valuable. I feel like it had so many good takeaways. I will leave her Instagram as well as her podcast name in the episode show notes. Also, feel free to follow me on Instagram @MorganFlitHealth. Subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on. I upload episodes every single Tuesday. Also, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please feel free to give the podcast a 5-star review as it helps Apple market the podcast to more audiences. I'd love to hear your feedback and your thoughts about today's episode, so feel free to shoot me a DM on Instagram, and I will talk to you guys on next week's episode. Bye, everyone.